What's up, guys? Welcome to the Sports Centric Podcast. We appreciate you joining us tonight. Zoe, what is going on?
Hey, it's a beautiful day outside, man. Luckily, me and the family have still been COVID-free, so grateful for that. How you been?
I've been chilling, man. Our damn governor just did a nation or statewide mask mandate, like forcing you to wear a mask. I'm not really happy about that, but
yeah, man, like I said, in California we do it already, so
it's not. Yeah, I mean,
even at work we do it at work. You know, military, you don't want nobody catching nothing.
I understand in work situations like making your employees wear a mask, but for me, I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. Like, I was in a Dollar General today, and I didn't have a mask on. This one lady got really upset at me. I heard her talking junk from a little far from, you know, a little bit away. But, yeah, man.
I mean, you don't have to wear a mask at home, you know. But, oh, I will say this past weekend, we decided we had to leave the house a little bit, so we went camping out in the wilderness. So that was cool, man. That was my big news. That's like my second time ever camping. We had a little tent set up. I went to check out like a lake, river, or shit like that. Just hung out outside, man, outdoors. So it was pretty cool, man. I would suggest to try that, man. Like if some people are getting like homesick or whatever, like it's a great time. I know we used to always make fun of it, you know, especially being in the Black community. Like nobody go camping, pay to sleep outside, but dude, it's relaxing, man. You bring a tent, have a little fire, and you just get to hang out, man. It was so relaxed, bro. I'm definitely gonna do it again, man. Highly recommend.
I've never done it.
Yeah,
I've never done that in my entire life.
I haven't until my wife made me do it.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, why are we gonna pay to sleep outside? But now I'm like, you know, like I saw so many stars.
Yeah.
It was unreal. Like I know there was, oh, you can see a lot of stars. Like, no, it was.
Yeah.
I never in my life seen a sky like that. And I was like, wow. Because, I mean, in Miami, it's a lot of lights. Atlanta's a lot of lights. Like, even when I was in Colorado Springs, you had some spots you could still see it. But I live mostly, like, in a bigger city, a lot of lights. And I was like, dude, this is amazing. And just being outside, it was so peaceful. I think because I'm getting older as well, it's probably why I like it a little bit more.
When I went to Ethiopia, like I stayed in the big city for 3 weeks. Also stayed in the like the village, like freaking straight up villages.
Yeah.
And yo, same deal, bro. Like the stars out there are freaking crazy, bro. It's very peaceful.
Yeah, I think that was huge, man. So, what are we getting into today? I know we got a special guest, Jordan from Forza Up Podcast. We're gonna have him later on today. But before we bring him on, man, what are we getting into today?
First topic is it just happened on Sunday. Cam Newton,
man,
the best quarterback in Carolina Panthers history, the legend, the MVP, Heisman Trophy winner, was signed by the Patriots.
I knew it was going to happen, bro. I called it. I said it was going to either be the Patriots, the Vikings, or the Bears.
I've been seeing people say Cam is washed. It doesn't matter.
I saw that too.
What do you think?
I'm not happy that he went to the Patriots because I'm nervous that we got to play him twice a year. We just got rid of Tom. Cam, they say he's washed, but I'm like, bro, this guy's literally been battling injuries. Of course he's going to look washed when he's hurt. He's playing. He's getting wrecked. No calls made for him. Like, I still think he's got it. Like, he's back healthy. And he goes to the New England Patriots who have long had a good O-line to keep Tom upright.
Yeah.
I think. And Bill Belichick is still there. Like, are they going to win a Super Bowl? Probably not. But let's not act like they're not going to be in contention to win the AFC East and be in the playoffs and actually go for, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Cam took him to a Super Bowl is what I'm saying this year.
Yeah. This kind of reminds me, you know what it reminds me of? Randy Moss. Because you remember Randy Moss?
Yeah.
When he played for the Raiders and the Patriots got him for nothing, people were saying Randy Moss was washed. This kind of reminds me of the same situation where, you know, people are, you know, people think, you know, the guy is past his prime where he's freaking in his physical prime.
Right.
Cam's
only like 20. Well, is he 30?
31. This is when quarterbacks are at their best. 31, 32, 33,
yeah.
34. And dude, like Josh McDaniels, he's one of the best offensive coordinators. Like you remember what Josh McDaniels when he had Tebow in Denver. You know, he was running that college offense.
Uh-huh.
You know, making it work with Tebow.
They did win a playoff game.
Yes, and they won a bunch of games with Tebow. I can imagine what he's gonna do with Cam. You know?
And it's not, like people say, I heard Colin Cowherd say it's not gonna be the same because the Patriots have an intricate system and Cam's only going to be there for a little bit. And then a lot of Pats fans are already on the Stidham train. But I'm like, bro, I'm 100% positive Cam Newton could pick up a New England Patriots playbook. If Jacoby Brissett did it, Jimmy Garoppolo did it, Matt Cassell, like all these quarterbacks could pick it up, how can an MVP not pick it up? It doesn't make any sense, these arguments people use to be.
And I heard Cowherd talk today, and I disagree with him. I think they're going to build the offense around him. You know how, like, the Ravens built their offense around Lamar Jackson?
You think Belichick is going to switch his entire offense to fit Cam?
I think McDaniels is going to build – because he built his – McDaniels, when he had Tebow, he changed everything, and he built that offense around Tebow. I think McDaniels is going to do the same thing for Cam because Cam is completely different from Brady.
Right.
You know, different player. If you try to make Cam do what Brady was doing, he's going to fail miserably. But if you take the Lamar Jackson route of building, like playing to his strength and building around him, you're going to have one of the best two or three defenses in football. You have Cam. They got just some decent weapons. They got to get O-line. Bro, I'm saying Super Bowl, bro.
Okay, let's not. I will say this, though. The AFC East is going to be a lot tougher.
It's weak. To me, it's
no,
weak.
No. It's going to be dude, the Dolphins, our offense isn't that great right now. But defensively, we got two of the best corners in the league. We got two is going to be like – it's the AFC East is on the come up. You look at the Bills. The Bills, I don't think they're going to be a joke this year. And the Jets with Sam Darnold. I'm not a Jets fan. I think Sam Darnold shats in particular because he's a Jet. But I think they're coming up too, man. I think the AFC is going to be tough. It's going to be tough this year.
They're better. They're definitely better. But I think Cam Newton, you have by far the best coach. You have by far, to me, the best defense and the best quarterback. Coach, quarterback, defense. I'm rolling with the Patriots.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think Cam Newton will come up. And I think he's going to do a pretty good job with the Patriots. I don't know if they're going to win a Super Bowl again, but I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to go to the next topic, okay?
Yeah. Hold on. My boy's barking in the background.
I got you.
Podcast will go with that. Yeah, go ahead. They started barking. My wife came home and started barking.
Okay. I'm going to go to the next topic. I'm going to talk about those pictures of that older white couple.
Yeah.
I think the older dude was holding a rifle and the older woman was holding a
handgun.
Some sort of handgun at an angry mob. Apparently, Black Lives Matter protesters busted a fence to go confront the mayor of St. Louis. And this couple felt threatened and pulled, basically showed up to the mob.
I saw the pictures of it. Dude, so I was actually talking to my boy about this earlier. And so, because I first see the picture, I see, you know, two old white people pointing guns at people as they're walking by. So I won't say angry mob, because what I so I saw the pictures of people, and they're saying that they broke down a gate, which I'm like, okay, you guys be doing way too much right now, right? So that's illegal, right? And if they fell through, I don't know who these people were, but the pictures now I saw, there's a picture of a broken gate saying, all right, they did break in, but then there's pictures of the protesters, and none of them had weapons. They only had cameras. So I was like,
I heard they were armed. I'm not sure, but I heard they were armed.
Yeah, so the pictures I saw and the video I saw, the video of them recording them, and in the picture I saw when he had the gun that they already started making memes out of, which is funny. But these people, everyone I saw only had cameras on. Like, no, and they just had hand cameras and they're marching together. They weren't messing up anyone's houses in that neighborhood. Goodness. And they were only just marching. Like, so again, I don't know the full story. I gotta definitely look into it more. Now what I don't think what they did was right though.
The couple with the guns.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, first off, it was a private neighborhood, private mm-hmm. street.
Yeah.
We saw that they busted open the gate. They went through the gate. I heard that they were armed. I haven't seen any pictures or videos of people being armed. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's we've seen around the country a lot of rioting, looting, or whatever. It's been mostly residential neighborhoods, or not residential, but commercial businesses or whatnot. I've been seeing more videos of, like, I saw in Beverly Hills, Black Lives Matter. They were it was a Black Lives Matter protest down a residential neighborhood in Beverly Hills, and they were yelling to eat the rich, eat the rich, and death to capitalism. So, but it was in a residential neighborhood. But we've been seeing, like, you know, a lot of this stuff was going on in commercial businesses. Now it's moving to neighborhoods, private property. And I'm like, man, once you start going to residential neighborhoods and going to people's private property, all bets are off.
Yeah. I didn't see them in their yard or anything like that. But I will say, if someone's walking them out trying to break in my neighborhood, yeah, I have the right to defend myself.
Private street, broke a fence. Private neighborhood, gated community.
But legally, I don't know if I can go outside and start pointing my gun at people still. I know I can in California, that's a fact. But, like, I don't know, man. I don't know, like, let's say, because there's so much that I don't know about this situation, right? So I don't know if they, like, I don't know if, they, let's say, like, the gate could have been broken before they got there. I don't know. Or they, let's say they broke it down with what? I don't know what they broke it down with. Like, did they ram a car into it? I don't think they pulled the gate down. And then walking in this neighborhood, were they armed? I don't know. Were they just carrying cameras? That's all I saw. So I don't know everything. I don't know why he came out with guns, him and his wife, pointing at people when they weren't even going to their house. If they were going to a mayor's house, I don't know. I don't know. There's so much I don't know.
Again, I can understand when you've been seeing stuff on TV of looting and rioting, you know, on TV, and now you see a mob of people in your private neighborhood. I can understand going outside with guns and confronting people with guns.
But could you, because, like, now, let's say I've seen on TV and all that stuff of black people killing cops. Does that make sense if I see a cop in my neighborhood, I pull out a gun and be like, yo, get out of my neighborhood? Because I've seen on TV that I'm being murdered and stuff. But I know that if I see a cop, that doesn't mean pull out a gun and shoot the cop. Because I don't know that cop. That cop has done anything to me. Right? So I think there's a lot we need to unpack about what actually happened and then re-attack it. I didn't even know it was in St. Louis. I didn't know where it was at. I thought it was, like, somewhere up north or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's a lot we don't know about it, but I can understand.
Yeah.
I can understand, like, the tension, you know, I think it's understandable what they did, you know, wrong or whether the protesters were armed. I heard they were armed. I'm not sure. I haven't seen pictures of them being armed.
But again, like, that goes to say, like, if I see a cop, that means by that logic is since they saw protests happening and stuff happening at businesses and they saw people walking down that street, so they felt threatened, so they pulled out a gun. If I see a cop, I've seen cops been killing people on TV getting away with it. If I see a cop, I know I still shouldn't pull out a gun, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like I said, apparently it was a private neighborhood, gated community. 300 people broke down the fence. I mean, there's proof that the fence was broken down in a private neighborhood, private community. This is not a public place, you know? Yeah. So,
I understand. I definitely look into it. I still just don't think you should point your gun at random people walking by, though, man. Especially if they haven't done anything. So, like, the law of armed conflict, right, in the military, even if you see bad guys, you can't just pull out your gun and start shooting them. You can't shoot them in the back. If they're not a threat to you, like, let's say somebody was running and they were shooting at you, right? They were physically shooting at you with a gun. You're shooting back, and they put their gun down and surrender. If I still kill him, I will be tried and sent to jail for murder, right? Because he doesn't present a threat to me. Same situation with those people. Like, that's a law that we have to obey when you're overseas, when you're fighting, right? That the world came together to agree with. Now, that same principle should be applied here in America. If someone is presenting a threat to me just because mm-hmm. they're walking down my street, that doesn't give me a right to just pull out, me and my wife come out strapped to my, get up, let's go. Like, that's not legal. You shouldn't be doing that.
These people are lawyers, the two people who did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's what they said, okay? And I'm just, this is a quote. He said, one of the lawyers, he said, a mob of at least 100 people smashed through the historic iron gates, destroying them, and rushed towards my home where my family was having dinner outside, and put us in fear of our lives. This is private property. There are no public sidewalks or public streets. We were told that we will be killed, our home burned, and our dog killed. We were all alone facing an angry mob. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's their side of the story.
Yeah, of course. Now, and that's why I said we'll wait to see who's right and who's wrong. If 100 people broke down and started banging on their doors like the Purge with masks trying to come in there, yes, pull out your guns, protect yourself. But again, all I saw was people walking down the street, and then they came out with guns pointing them, and then people stopped and started recording them.
Again, my point is private property. This is private. You can't, like...
Yeah. If it's private property, I mean, you shouldn't be on there, yeah.
You shouldn't, like, that's their property, bro. You can't, like, once you do that, you're kind of breaking the law.
Yeah, also, but you shouldn't be pointing a gun at people. That's unless, again, if someone comes to my house, this is a true statement. If I, like, let's say they come to my house, I come out a gun, and no matter what state I'm in, if they turn around and start running, right, and I fire my gun, I can't do that. If they're in my neighborhood and I come out with my gun and they see me and they go past my house walking, I still can't pull my gun out on them or shoot them. I can get sued. Again, yeah, like,
absolutely.
If they weren't actually causing, like, if they were actually, like I said, breaking on, like, so try to purge these people on some crazy shit, then I'm all for them defending themselves. I'm not going to say, oh, no, you shouldn't defend yourself. But all I saw was people walking and then them pulling out their guns, threatening people walking. That's all. Again, private property, yeah, it's still, you shouldn't be on there. That's there's a reason people pay, like, hey, we don't want you on here.
Yeah. And like I said, the situation in Beverly Hills, there were the Black Lives Matter protests down the residential street chanting, eat the Ritz, death to capitalism, I don't want to get too much into that, but I know you had a situation on Twitter, and I want you to speak about that, man. As far as with Black Lives Matter.
Oh yeah, so and this is huge, man. So again, because a lot of people, when we say Black Lives Matter, I realize that there's two different things here. Like, there's a Black Lives Matter movement, right? And it's when a lot of Black people, and not just Black people, white people, Hispanic, everyone got together and they're like, hey, man, like, we're tired of it. Like, it's been happening for so long. Our generation has to be the one. Like, we want you to know that Black Lives Matter, right? And so they started chanting it, right, and saying, hey, my life, I'm a Black man in America, right? I want you to know that my life matters. So when you're about to shoot me and you're a cop or whatever, see me as a human being. Don't just see me as a bad guy. Know that my life matters. Before you do anything, know my life matters. And if I get killed, I need a justice system, right? If I'm just walking down the street like the dude in Denver, right, who was a violinist, he was like a super nerdy Black guy, never in trouble with the law, right? He got killed by the cops. And then the cops that killed him didn't get prosecuted. They're not in jail for murder. So it's like, don't kill us. And if you do kill us, please, justice system, like, prosecute them. And also, can you tear down these, like, establishments that have promoted, like, a systematic oppression towards people of color in this country? And then, so that's one huge side. And that's what we all thought it was. And then now you have this other side. It's like a Black Lives Matter foundation or organization where they have a website and they're selling T-shirts, which I'm like, what is this? And they're like, oh, donate. To, I'm like, donate. What are we donating to? Like, I thought we were in these streets protesting, trying to vote, get people in place to tear these systems down. What are we donating to? Like, I don't know. Like, and so I click on donating, and then they're like, it's all this jargon about where the money's going to, and then there's some in there where it's going to go to political campaign. I'm like, for who? I'm like, so it's like, now you got these two things, and man, you know, I had some talk with some people where it's like, now you have, since there's this website now, this organization, versus just the movement and idea that people were like, hey, our life matters. We want you to know our life matters. Now it's this organization, and then there's people coming out saying, oh, we are Marxists and we, you know, we want all these different things and stuff. And it's like, you have people that were on the fence about whether they should support the idea of people saying that their life matters, to now like, oh, I can't support that. They're Marxists or they're communists, blah, blah, blah. Or they just want to take over. They want to enslave the white race. So I'm like, what? And then you have some people who are like, oh, I'm a founder of Black Lives Matter. And out of that, I'm like, when we were all saying it, bro, I promise you, like, you go into my neighborhoods, you go into a lot of predominantly Black neighborhoods, and if you ask them, do Black Lives Matter, they're going to be like, damn right, Black Lives Matter. And then you say, all right, sweet. Also, are we Marxists? They're going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I don't know where this split happened, but you hijacked an idea.
So, right,
I'm almost done here. So you hijacked an idea and you phrase it to where that phase or that phrase can't be, like, you can't argue against that phrase, right? Because what's inherently bad about me saying that my life matters? If I say Black people getting killed way too much, Black Lives Matter, that's not a bad thing to say. It's like, oh yeah, this man feels like his life matters. His life does matter, right? Same thing with anti-fascism, Antifa, right? If you hear the word fascism, right, you think, what, Nazi Germany, right? You don't want that to happen again. So, Antifa, they're anti-fascist. But then it's like these ideas get hijacked. And then now people are just like, oh, no, I can't support them. They're terrorists. I'm like, but Black Lives Matter people were never terrorists. We're just people saying that our lives matter. And now it's just a big thing. And I'm like, maybe I don't know much about it, man. But from what I've seen, it's just become like a hijacked ideology.
Yeah. I mean, there's bad elements in it, man. I mean, I've seen some people, like you said, who have proclaimed to be like leaders of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them on Fox News, or, you know, I've seen just spewing hate just hate. And yeah, man. I mean, do you feel that people should start to distance themselves from this?
Well, so here's the thing. The phrase, like, how can you distance yourself from? I don't want to distance from myself from being able to say that my life matters. That doesn't make sense to me, right? But like anything else, like, I don't want it to get hijacked either. It's like, I just want people to see, like, hey, if I'm not going to this website, like, if I just come to you and say Black Lives, what I want is, if you hear it and you don't agree with it, ask someone what they mean by that. Like, what do you mean your life matters? What are you saying by that? And if they say, which I think a lot of Black people will say, is, hey, man, we tired of getting killed by cops, one, for no reason. Two, we tired of getting killed and the people that's killing us is getting away with it. And three, hey, man, it would be really cool if you could tear down some of these establishments that have, like, been in place for hundreds of years to kind of keep. And I'm not saying it's bad right now to where I can't go get a job if I wanted to because I'm Black. But there's a lot of stuff that we're still trying to combat or make even for people in this country. Like, you can't say that we're perfect, we fixed it, right? We still have a lot of issues. And I'm just trying to make sure, like, those issues that we're working on continue to get worked on and continue to get fixed. So I don't want to distance myself from saying Black Lives Matter, because that's dumb, a dumb thing to do. If, like, but like to, I'm not a Marxist or whatever that what people keep saying. I'm not a communist. I already told you what I want.
Yeah,
it's not to be taking over anyone. It's just be treated fair.
No, I understand. I mean, I understand. It's just when you have people marching the street, this organization of people marching the streets, yelling out "Death to capitalism" and, you know, "Eat the rich." It's freaking. It's just,
yeah, I get your frustration. Weird, I get your frustration, right? Because it's
weird, and like I think it's evil. You know, I'm not saying like you said, I'm not saying that notion is evil. I'm just saying that this organization, or that what it's kind of morphing to, is evil. Like, to me, you know, from what I see, you know,
you don't want it to be like a Black version of, like, the conservative groups that are like chanting Jews are not replaces and shit like that.
It's just crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to turn that either, because I always the people that know me know that I believe in people, no matter how bad. I know people are evil. But I believe in people, and I know one day we'll, not in my lifetime, obviously, but I do believe we'll be able to get to a point, and because it has gotten a lot better, it has. So I'm always gonna believe in people, man. But some people make it hard, bro. Some people make it hard.
I feel you, bro. Any other topics?
I think we good for now, man. I know we're gonna talk about what we want to talk about. And that is to bring our boy Jordan from the Fours Up podcast in, because North Carolina is beginning a little cocky, man. They have begun a little cocky. So we want to bring him in and talk about it, man. I know he's a good guy. Their podcast is doing huge. I really appreciate him coming on, because they have the bigger platform and they came down, you know, just to kick it with us.
Word.
All right, man. I'm bring them on in. Welcome to the podcast, from Fours Up Podcast. My boy, Big Jordan, in the building.
Guys, how you doing?
Dude, we're doing good, man. We're in the middle of a debate, and we want you to hop in on it.
Yeah, tell me what's going on.
All right, well, for our five listeners of the podcast, we got our boy Jordan Nelson from the Fours Up, a hurricane celebrity. And I do appreciate you coming on with us, man. Prime shit talking season as we get close to regular football season. So
yeah, bro.
Before you hopped on, me and Saeed, we were talking North Carolina football, and do we think they'll be as good as they were last year? Because right now they're primed to be the coastal champions, right? Everyone's on North Carolina board bandwagon. Miami is second place right now. Recruiting classes, I mean, North Carolina is number two in the ACC, and we're number three.
Yep, correct.
So I was saying, look, I'm gonna say this again. I don't think that Sam Howell is trash. I do think he's one of the best quarterbacks, but I don't know if they'll be able to duplicate what they did last season this year. Because I think when they almost beat Clemson, I think it was a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they beat us, they shouldn't have. If Bubba makes a kick or two, like we don't lose that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Saeed, I'm gonna let you get back in real quick because you were talking about Sam Howell and how dope you think he is, and then I mean, Jordan, come on in.
The fact that he was a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did to – I was telling Zoe what he did to Miami, because Miami got a good defense, really good defense. You don't see true freshmen kind of eat up Miami like that. So I think – I mean, I'm really – like, to me, it's Trevor Lawrence as the best college quarterback. And then to me, like, it's like Justin Fields, Sam Howell. I like Sam Howell a little bit better.
Than Justin Fields?
Than Justin Fields, yeah.
Oh, you tripping, bro. You tripping.
Especially, I'm thinking like projection to the pros.
Okay.
You know, Justin Fields.
I can see that.
He's a great college quarterback, no doubt. But, you know, he still has a lot to prove before I'm like, yo, he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. Howell, I've almost seen enough to like, man, he's going to be a really, really good NFL quarterback whenever he declares.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think his pro projection looks really, really good at this point. I do think people focus a little too much on just Sam Howell for the Tar Heel offense. I mean, if you look at the numbers, so they're returning both of their running backs. Mm-hmm. They did like a 1-2 punch last year, Michael Carter and Javonte Williams. They combined for like 1,936 yards. So, you know, they were pretty much split. One of them had 1,000, one of them had 900. What I'm saying is, you know, they got the two running backs that both went for almost 1,000. Mm-hmm. They got two receivers that went for 1,000 and 10 touchdowns. Like, they're loaded. They're returning four starters off their offensive line as well. So I do think their offense is going to have a huge season.
What? Isn't their defense losing a lot?
They're losing four starters and a good amount of depth, and so their pass rush, I think their pass rush lost at least, or their D line lost at least two starters, and it wasn't even good anyways. So their defensive line is going to be trash. You know, they had a first team all ACC linebacker that's coming back. Mm-hmm. So I think their linebackers are really going to be the strength of their defense. And then their secondary was kind of iffy. So I don't know, man. I think they're going to be good. I really do. I don't think they're unbeatable. I think we're going to have to play a really like solid performance to beat them. We're really going to have to get to the quarterback. You know, to disrupt just that machine they got on offense.
So here's what I'm going to say about Javonte Williams, right? Grant, yes, he almost had 1,000 yards rushing. When he played Miami, that was his season low, 76 yards. He's not Dalvin Cook to me. I'm not afraid of him.
Yeah.
You look at what North Carolina opens up with this year, by the time they get to us, I don't know if they're going to be – if they're not going to be banged up, because they start with UCF, okay?
Yeah. Then they have Auburn.
Yep, and they got Auburn.
Yeah.
Right? Georgia Tech beat us. I'm not, but they might be solid. They got Virginia Tech, Duke, and then Miami. And then their schedule goes to shit. But leading up to us, I don't know if they're going to be – because, like, we're not just going to look past Auburn like they're a joke, right? It's still Auburn. Correct. UCF, though we hate UCF, they're slowly becoming as annoying as Florida State fans, slowly. But they're still a solid team.
They're annoying in a different way, man.
Yo, last year, oh my God, last year, I don't know where they came from. They started pissing me off so much.
They're like the 11-year-olds that you play Call of Duty with on Xbox Live. Yeah. That's they're kind of annoying.
And they had one game where they got like 20 kills and like 5 deaths, and now they think they're the best.
yeah, dude.
For real. But so I was like, I am kind of low key wanting UCF to win that game. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, anything helps, man. You know, like the non-conference schedule factors into the tiebreakers. So
it does. And they got a tough one this year. Like our opening, like looking at our schedule. And granted, everyone says, "Oh, Zoe, you got your Kane glasses on," and it's hard not to, just because I know the talent we have, right? I know our recruiting classes we built up in the past couple of years. I know that talent wise. When we played, who was it, Central Michigan last year, that should never have happened, right? When we barely beat them, when our O-line outweighed their D-line by an average of like 100 pounds each,
no, dude.
There's no way that should happen. FIU, Louisiana Tech, that has to be an anomaly. Uh-huh. I refuse to believe that happens with Temple Wagner and UAB.
I don't know, man. I mean, is it an anomaly though? Because we've kind of been trash for like 20 years, man. I mean, how many times since 2005 have we said like there is no way we should be playing down to Central Michigan?
That's true. But here's the thing: it has to be coaching, because even since 2005, we've still been putting people in the league who have been doing very well in the league.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we could spend hours trying to figure out what's going on. You know, I mean, who knows what it is? We've had like 5 coaches, and they've all kind of failed. Hopefully, Manny can buck that trend. But
I believe in Manny, man. I believe so, because I'm just looking at ESPN, right? Because so what really brought this topic up today for me, because you know, as always, I'm on Twitter. I'm doing my usual trolling, shit talking, whatever. And then I see this video from Barstool, North Carolina, right? And it was like returning the best offense in the country. And then I'm like, oh, so then I go to ESPN and I'm like, let me see who they have projected to win the Coastal. And it says North Carolina, Miami, Virginia Tech. And I'm like, huh. Like, since when, like, with the addition of De'Aaron King, and I love Jalen Knighton. I love a lot of the freshmen we got coming in, but I'm not counting him towards us being that much better of a team. I'm counting the additions like De'Aaron King, the additions like Quincy Roche, the addition of Jalen Phillips, who we didn't get to see last year, Bubba Bolden, who just started to get good and then did a little bit too much celebrating and injured himself. I'm taking that into account when I almost feel disrespected that North Carolina is still ahead of us. I get the running backs, the quarterback, I get it, but I'm just and the recruiting class this year, I'm not even sure if it sticks. I don't think there's any way it sticks, man.
No, yeah. Mac is locking it down. North Carolina, man.
Well, because Saeed, you're from North Carolina, right?
I live in North Carolina.
And they have 11 4-stars right now. But I don't think it sticks, man.
I think the number one cornerback in the country, I'm not sure if he announced yet, but I think they said Carolina was like the favorite to land him. I'm not sure if he already announced or whatnot.
I just want to know the size of bags that Mac is throwing around right now, dude. The last time he did anything, I was like 8 years old.
Dude, it's something. It's in North Carolina, with them, they have their seasons where they're really good, but it's never consistent, right? They're not always getting the top recruiting classes. They're not always competing for the Coastal. And, I mean, Kane shades off. No one's always competing for the Coastal, right? Because unlike the Atlantic, where you got like almost a decade of Florida State, and now it's going to be like a decade of Clemson. Like, it's just you have a powerhouse and it just sticks. Our side is us, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Virginia. Hell, Georgia Tech was in 2011 and stuff. It's going to happen, but I'm looking, and I will say, I'm not going to say they're throwing bags. I'm not going to not say they're throwing bags, right? But they are keeping a lot of kids home, which is huge for them, I think. Because you look at all the recruits, North Carolina, North Carolina, North Carolina, North Carolina. They don't have that issue of people coming in poaching their kids like we do. And a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't know. I just don't. I'm just going to come out here and say it now. If anyone wants to, you know, bring this back up when the season starts, I'm praying we have a season. And shit talk me. I'll take it all. But I'm saying right now, here's me on the record, again, saying Miami wins the Coastal. North Carolina, I think North Carolina comes in third.
Okay. Third.
Because of their schedule. And also, I don't believe their recruiting class sticks in the top 10.
You know, I don't think either of those are crazy.
Oh, you don't? Okay. All right. Well, I'm not crazy then. Cool. Because I started to feel crazy.
Hey, Jordan, question. I'm not sure if you pay attention to FSU or not. How do you feel about Novell, and how do you feel FSU is going to do this season?
So, are you referring to the thing where like the team kind of said they lost confidence in him because he maybe didn't have the conversations that he led the media to believe that he did?
Lied.
Is that what you're talking about?
Lied.
Yeah.
And that's not just one thing he's done. There's been a few bumps in the road.
Like the hoodies and earrings and stuff like that.
Yeah, White Iverson came.
And the recruiting. That too.
Okay. So, yeah, man. I don't know. See, I actually liked Mike Norvell or Norvell or however you say it before they hired him. You know, Memphis is a team. I love their uniforms. So I always end up watching a lot of Memphis games during the season randomly. You know, so I was actually I was a little bit worried when they hired him because I thought he had potential, but man, it has not gone very well for them so far. It really hasn't. And, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, I don't want to say it's malicious or it's not, or, you know, what his intentions are. But I don't know, man. They just seem like the program feels like it's in free fall.
And I love it.
Me too, man. I love it.
With me, with Norvell, I think he's a good coach, but I think his staff is just it's not a staff that you're gonna win a national championship with. You know, it's he has like a no name DC.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not a big name. You know, just no like big time recruiters. I don't know. I don't think he's gonna last very long. I think they should have Willie for a few more years, man. Very true.
Oh, so this is what. So I don't really know too much about Coach Norvell. I liked what he did at Memphis, but I believe it was a lot of Justin Fuente as well, right? That kind of started everything up, and then Norvell came and kept it going. So I'm not gonna be the one to give Norvell all the credit like a lot of FSU fans try to do. But knowing me being my trolling self, when he fucks up, I like to stoke the fire of flames. I'm gonna be real with you. So here, this is the truth, right? A lot of people, a lot of families did not like the fact that Willie Taggart got fired so fast. Right?
Yeah.
Because Florida State, they got a little bit of a history with a good boys club situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so you bring in Coach Norvell, who unfortunately, it wasn't his fault, but he kind of just got dragged into this, right? He's the head coach now. you got him trying to go into these people's houses who, one, they don't know you, right? And you want, yeah, you want me to send my kid to you for 3 to 4 years. Yeah. You say you're going to take care of him. I knew that previous coach had intentions, right? Because I will say, even though Willie wasn't the best head coach, like as far as winning games, he was like a good father figure to those kids. They loved him. They wanted to, yeah, win for him. They just couldn't. Yeah, yeah, right. It's like, oh, yeah, cool. And but now he's like, you got somebody who, which this is another reason I like to stoke the flames. I'm not gonna want my kid to go to Florida State. And you can look at the recruiting class now. It's starting to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to want to send my kid there, especially with a lot of stuff going on right now, right? And him just, yeah, him just doing that thing where he lied, it just made it so much worse, which made me so much happier. And
agreed.
The fact that Marvin Wilson came out, his star player,
yeah,
and like caught him out on his bullshit, I was like, yes,
yeah,
more anarchy.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, like, we can even talk about this if you guys want, and you know, trying to take away putting words in anyone's mouth. So not assuming that anyone is actually racist or there is, you know what I mean? I don't want to get too much into that.
Right, right.
But I mean, when Willie got fired, there was a large amount of people that felt like he didn't get a chance because he's African American, right?
True.
Whether that's true or not, I don't want to comment on that. But if people feel that way, that's their reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we're having the thing with the boosters who don't want to rename Doak Campbell Stadium.
You're right.
Whether they should or shouldn't, I don't want to comment on that. But like I said, if people feel that way, that's their reality. So, like, these things are starting to pile up around the FSU program.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, it's – I'm really glad that I'm not their athletic director. You know?
So, on our show, we talk about it all, man. Because, as you know, I'm a little more liberal-leaning, and Saeed's a little more conservative-leaning. But we always talk about it, man. So, if you want to talk about anything, feel free. Cool. I do know a lot of people – and just people I know, right? Friends and family that I know personally do feel like Willie Taggart was most racially motivated.
Okay.
And then what I have been doing is egging that on, right?
Yeah.
On Twitter, I'm pushing it on Twitter. Yeah. I'm pushing it on Facebook. But here's another thing. So, you know, yeah, you know, we have some ties to coaches in South Florida. Everyone mm-hmm. knows, you know, like, and this is not saying that he said it, but like, there's a lot of black coaches that straight up have said they're like, bro, I don't like what's going on over there.
Yeah.
Right. And so now the coach is saying it, and their parents are starting to say it and see it. Like you see what Manny this, and this is what I said. I think Manny's he is a politician, right? But when everything Correct. Was going on with Manny, Manny was out there with them boys. Manny yep. said, if you guys need to talk to me, if you want to talk about it, let's talk about it. I want to make yeah. sure I'm here with you guys. Mm-hmm. Huge, huge versus Nick Saban. And oh my, and Dabo's been getting so much. Dabo's yeah. been getting so much shit that I have been loving it. I have yeah. been loving it. Now you pay attention. So, you know, we're all going after the Palmetto Five, right? That's what I like to call them, right? Uh-huh. Everyone's going after those boys. You look at their top five, of course you have the usual suspect, like Clemson's in almost all the top fives. You got the Gators in some of those. But you see Miami in each and every one of those. I don't know these kids personally, right? So I'm not going to speak on any, nothing I'm saying here is facts. But this is what I'm seeing as myself being a black American who's played football in this country, who have friends who's played professionally, college, all that stuff. And just growing up in predominantly black neighborhoods, the fact that Miami went 6-7, I don't think, and we love to say logo holds weight because I do believe the logo holds weight, but I don't think it's necessarily just the logo. I think that the fact that they see what Manny has been doing is because this social injustice issue right now is huge, and a lot of these players are seeing it. If I don't care if my team is 6-7 and 1 year they could turn around and win 10 games, I'm signing with Miami because I know, yes, I'm going to be able to go league, but I know my coach is going to have my back. I think that some of these boys are starting to look at some of these head coaches and what they're telling their, like, their team. Because you have former Clemson players coming out talking about Dabo, right, calling him out on some stuff. You got Florida State players currently calling their head coach out on stuff. And it's like these boys are seeing that. And I'm like, I do believe that's why we're starting to get a lot of these kids. So I know Miami went 6-7 last year. Or 7-6, whatever. It's the same shit to me. But I know that this coach is going to have my back. So I think what's going on with us versus what's going on with everyone else is amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, and like I don't even want to – I don't want to personally throw shade at those coaches, you know, because there's a lot to this issue that, you know, like I would have a hard time understanding just because of my background, right?
Right.
I didn't grow up in South Florida. I grew up in, you know, the Mountain West where everyone – you know, it's very monoculture
here. Yeah.
You know, I'm not exposed to a lot of – different thought processes and different backgrounds and you know, it's not the most diverse. But I do think, you know, like I said, whether or not there is any negative feelings in these coaches' hearts, I don't want to speak towards, but I do think that these kids should go somewhere that they're comfortable.
That's true.
You know, and it's because like I said, like perception is reality, you know. If they don't feel comfortable with Dabo, you know, whether or not Dabo is, you know, whether or not he has negative feelings or whether he's just ignorant, I don't know. But, like, if you don't feel comfortable with him, life's too short to spend 4 years with him, man.
That's
and
true.
And put your pro career in his hands.
That's true. Now, I will come out and say I don't think these Dabo's honestly inherently a bad person or racist. I don't think Nick Saban is really a bad person or racist. But I will, because I like to troll, I will push that narrative. Only because I hate them. Like if you ask me, like, hey, do you think Dabo was a bad guy? I'm like, honestly, no, man. I think Dabo honestly does care for his players. But if some shit happens, I'm gonna push that fucking negative image of Clemson because I want our boys to come to Miami and help us win. That's what I'm gonna do, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel you, man. It is what it is, right?
That is true. Hey, so my question for you, man, how is the Forza podcast coming along? I know you guys are balling out of control, man. How's that going for you guys?
Oh, dude, it's been a whirlwind. We so we didn't really change anything, but we kind of blew up like 2 weeks ago. You know, we're shooting up the charts on Apple. We spent like 3 days in the top 10 football podcasts in America. Which is just kind of mind.
That's crazy.
Dude, that's mind blowing to me. Yeah, because I mean, like, we don't even have microphones, you know? Like, it was just like,
and it's a Miami Hurricane podcast for us to be top 10. Well, for you guys, I say us because it's Canes fam, but you know, for you guys, your podcast, it's like that's, dude, I'm proud of you guys, man.
No, thank you, man. I appreciate it. And then, you know, it looks like we're gonna be doing some work with Slam Radio, like, you know, Larry from The Amigo, if you guys know of him.
Oh, yeah.
So we might be taking Fours up onto the radio or something like that. But yeah, man, it's cool. I'm excited to see where this thing takes us, you know?
Yeah, that's dope. I don't know if we'll ever get to that level because a lot we're controversial sometimes. But the fact that you come back on here with us and will shoot the shit with us, man, I do appreciate that.